is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly update and in-depth look at the COVID-19 situation from a lot of different angles with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Let's start out with the local update. Just got the new numbers in for today. What can you tell us?
Well, we're still having a moderate number of cases. We're certainly out of the extreme range, but I think we're still having a daily number of cases. We're averaging about 10 cases a day, which is 10 more than I'd like to have, but still certainly down from previously what it was in February.
So the new numbers for today, 12 new cases and two new presumptive cases. With the tracking lower, we would have to drop a bit more to really have a shot at getting to the moderate level by the end of this risk period, right?
Yeah, we would. I mean, when I look at the numbers now, we're a little over 100. So we've had 80 over the first week. So we would need to have a really, really good week, and that's what we're hoping for.
So with things going on here, what are you seeing in the local cases? What kind of areas are they coming from?
Well, they're mostly coming from three areas. Work sites remain our number one place where we're having it. So somebody is sick, they infect other people at work. And we think it's typically not during the workday itself, but it's among workers themselves who gather during breaks or during meal periods. So it really is really important that people continue to wear masks and not gather with coworkers. Second thing we're seeing is that we're seeing a number of church outbreaks. And these church outbreaks typically happen among parishioners. And the third is we're still seeing some in schools.
And for the number of people in isolation and quarantine, with our cases up a little bit in recent days, I've noticed a pretty good sized uptick in both the number of people in isolation and quarantine.
Yeah, and it was because there were a couple of school outbreaks. Although we had spring break, there were a couple of school outbreaks that came in late. And school outbreaks are usually the ones that are associated with very high numbers in quarantine.
So I noticed that this coming Saturday, there's another big vaccination event. Tell us about it.
Yes, we're going to have another big vaccination event on April the 3rd at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. We're going to start about 8 o'clock in the morning and go till 6:30 at night. So it's going to be one of the longer ones. We're going to be giving second doses of Pfizer vaccine to people who got their first dose of Pfizer vaccine on March the 13th. They already have an appointment scheduled. They don't have to schedule again. And it's exactly the time they had it before. So they had a 10:15 appointment before. They have a 10:15 appointment this Saturday. In addition, we're able to offer only 200 doses of J&J between 8 and 10 in the morning. And then we have a nearly unlimited amount of Pfizer vaccine starting from 3 o'clock till 6:30 at night.
So then most everyone that will be at this is already essentially on an invite basis?
No, about a third are people who are getting their second dose. But the J&J are all new people, and the people after 3 o'clock are going to be all new. So about a third follow-up and about two-thirds new.
So for people interested, is this something they could sign up for?
Yes, they can sign up. We're going to have a relatively easy Eventbrite sign-up. We've streamlined it even a bit from the last time, and last time it only took 2.5 minutes per person. So we think we're down to 2 minutes for the sign-up. We're going to publish that link tomorrow, both on your radio show, on the noon update, and then also on our website.
All right, so we'll have that for folks to watch for. And again, that's going to be on Saturday. Are you seeing then that the vaccine supply is improving in this area?
In general, the vaccine supply is improving. We were expecting a big boost of Johnson & Johnson vaccine this week and didn't show up. But other than that, the vaccine supply is really pretty good. So at this point, pretty much almost anyone who wants vaccine can get it.
And around the state right now, I've been looking at the numbers. It seemed like over the past few days, the Metro Portland counties kicked up a little bit, but sometimes that can vary day to day a lot. Where are you really seeing upticks around Oregon?
So we're starting to see upticks in the Portland area, but also we're seeing in the Southwest Oregon area. So Coos, Curry, Josephine, and Jackson counties are currently the hottest counties in the state. And that's a little bit of a worry because we share lots with them.
And obviously, not only in some cases sharing borders or near borders, but some people are going back and forth for work or other things there. What about spring break? I know there was a lot of concern both from you as state and federal health officials about spring break and people bringing the virus back with them, getting it somewhere along the way. When will it be for folks who got back over the weekend or maybe last Friday, when we'll start to see any impact from spring break in terms of new cases popping up?
What we learned from the other surges is that it's typically about 3 weeks after a big travel event we begin to see an increase in cases. So 3 weeks after the 4th of July, 3 weeks after Thanksgiving, 3 weeks after Christmas, the country saw its big increase. So I would think 3 weeks after spring break, so somewhere around the second half of April, we'll see the most of this. Now, I would hope it's not. I would hope that the people went on spring break were cautious about what they did. But from photos I saw of South Florida, people were not being very cautious.
For COVID-19 nationally, what are the hot spots right now?
Well, right now we're seeing some really unusual hotspots. Michigan seems to be the hottest place in the country, but then southern Utah, New York, New Jersey, and the Texas Panhandle all have lots of disease.
And I know that one of the CDC officials, I think it was talking about maybe over the weekend or this morning, I think I heard about it for the first time, about concern for another potential surge.
Well, I think there's no doubt that we're in the next surge, either third or fourth, depending upon how you count it. When I look at the cases over the last few weeks, they were flat for a while, but they're clearly increasing. We looked at the number of cases last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They were the highest amounts in 3 weeks. And so I think we're clearly in another surge, which is not surprising because Europe has been in a surge for about 4 weeks.
Now, is this kind of normal, if there's anything to be compared with this in terms of it comes back? It seems like we're like on a bit of a roller coaster.
We are on a bit of a roller coaster. And I think what happens is we get high and people then get more cautious. We start to put in restrictions and the cases go down. And then when we loosen the restrictions, cases go back up. So I think what we're seeing is not unexpected. The concern is that we opened very quickly in the end of February and the beginning of March when the cases were down. And what I'm concerned about is that we'll expand very quickly, too.
Now, the variants continue to be an interesting topic of discussion. And I'm hearing a lot of questions about those and how they may impact a lot of different aspects of this fight against COVID-19.
Well, variants are the real problem. So variants are mutated viruses that are either spread more quickly, are more deadly, or are less well protected for by the vaccine. And unfortunately, some of the variants out there, the UK variant appears to be both more contagious and more deadly. The South African variant appears to be more contagious and less well treated by the vaccine. And the Brazilian variant appears to have all of those features.
And with the variants you've mentioned before, I mean, we may see many more of them, right?
Right. So this is where we start. And so what happens when a new variant gets into the population and it's more contagious, it spreads much more quickly. So, for example, you remember very early on there was the D614G variant, which turned out to not make a big difference, but it replaced the old variant within just a few months. In the UK, the UK variant has now almost totally replaced the previous variant. And that's what happens is these variants grow quickly. When I checked most recently on the CDC website, half of the variant analysis, they showed there were variants of concern. And so when you look from two-week period to two-week period, the prevalence of some of these variants grows very, very quickly. And that's the concern, because if we start having variants now that are more contagious, less well protected by previous infection or immunization, it's going to be a few steps backwards.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson at 1. Still putting together tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, but County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us today as we go in-depth on a lot of different aspects of COVID-19. We are officially into spring by several days, and the weather's warming up. In fact, Wednesday, we're going to be in the upper 70s, quite possibly. And that brings back in more options for outdoor activities. Dr. Bob, one of the things over the past several months, I've heard numbers that vary greatly, but though they do vary, I am hearing a big difference about the sort of the concern of outdoor events versus indoor events, and outdoor being obviously much safer.
Yes, outdoor events appear to be at least 10 times as safe as indoor events. So when we've looked at events that are both indoors and outdoors, it's remarkable that the people who had only outdoor contact almost never get infected, and yet the people who shared a car or shared an indoor space are the ones who get infected. So I think the data is increasingly clear that outdoor events are much safer than indoor events, just because there's breeze outside. So I took a walk before, and it's so breezy out that it's pretty unlikely that germs are going to spread from one person to another.
And that gives folks opportunities with your backyard, your deck, things like that, to have folks at least maybe a little bit closer.
Exactly right. And that's why I think when people have talked about perhaps having 4th of July barbecues, I think that's quite likely if we continue the good trend we've had recently.
Now, last week, I think it was the CDC had some guidance out for vaccinated adults in terms of things that are safe amongst other vaccinated adults. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. If you have two households where everybody's vaccinated, we think getting together without masking and social distancing is probably appropriate. There's still some chance of spread, but it's less than 1% of the chances of spread before you were vaccinated. And new data suggests that the vaccines not only prevent severe disease, but they also do seem to be at least 90% protective in any level of disease. So, we think if you're vaccinated and your wife's vaccinated and then another couple's vaccinated, it's perfectly safe to have them over for dinner.
And that, I would think, is got to be an encouragement for some people who haven't been sure about getting vaccinated to maybe take that step.
Well, that would be one of the great reasons to be vaccinated, is that you could then more safely do the other kind of things that you might want to do, like travel, like meet with friends, like see your grandkids.
And I know people have talked about that just in the last few weeks. Folks that have been vaccinated wait for their, 2-week effective period, right around 14 days, and then find themselves able to do activities that in many cases they've almost forgotten what they're like.
Right. I think you'll remember quickly. I think it's like riding a bike. I think you'll be just fine.
So talk about the various protocols and guidelines as we've gone through this past year. Periodically, the CDC, the Oregon Health Authority, other places have had guidelines at one level to do this, don't do that. Sometimes they've shifted a lot. And I guess that goes maybe makes me think about a couple of different questions. One is just how hard is it to manage kind of a pandemic in this aspect? But also, is it that you are learning things along the way, or is it that the virus is shifting and you've got to make changes because of that?
It's all of those things. So I think we are learning more about the virus. I think the virus shifts in some ways, especially with the new variants, and then the whole era of vaccines changes things a lot too. So yeah, things are always changing, but that's what public health is all about. We're trying to be as absolutely flexible as we can.
And I know one of the things you mentioned early on in all of this was because no one in public health had gone through something quite like this before, that mistakes honestly would get made or things would shift along the way and realizing just how to do things.
Right. So things change with time and we want to just stay up with the changes. And again, we try not to be too harsh on people who disagree or get confused by some of the changes, because we recognize that we've asked people to make tremendous sacrifices over this past year.
So I wanted to back up 103 years and talk about the Spanish flu. I've done some reading on it, but I'm sure you were much more well-versed than I. Some of the things that took place back then, and how many similarities there are to what we've dealt with the past 12 months?
Well, there are a lot of similarities. I mean, some of the similarities were that we castigated where we thought the vaccine came from. So we called it the Spanish flu, but it almost certainly didn't originate in Spain. It almost certainly originated in the U.S. We saw that movement of people at that point, because of train travel for the war, really caused lots of cases, similar to what we're finding now, that plane travel causes many of the cases. Back then, masks were suggested, but there were a lot of people who didn't want to use masks and were quite vocal about it. And then we also saw some people who downplayed the virus, even at a time that it was killing a large percentage of the population. So there are lots of similarities.
And wasn't there, during the Spanish flu, a time where things had improved and folks kind of let up a bit? And wasn't that where the biggest surge came in?
So what happened was it was a bad outbreak in the late spring, early summer that didn't seem to go away. And people thought it was gone, and then it roared back. And so many of those same changes of loosening up a little too quickly and then things coming back really made a big difference. There's a particularly terrible story about a Veterans Day parade. It was before Veterans Day, but it was for the returning veterans. And there was a big parade in Philadelphia. And then in the ensuing weeks, they had tremendous number of deaths where the entire city really felt the pandemic.
I, along the way, have seen, I think, some archived photo shots out of the Oregonian going way back of some of the articles during that time, not only news articles, but advertisements, public health announcements, and things like that. And it was amazing because in 100 years, so many things have changed, yet they had a list of things that weren't open or were open with restrictions. That looked very similar. There was also the whole mask, don't mask question that was up there a lot. And it was amazing how cyclical that event and this event seem to have been to each other.
Yes, although the viruses are quite different and the people most affected are quite different. So back in the Spanish flu, it mostly affected young people, especially sailors and soldiers. This one affects more old people. But in many cases, pandemic denial, vaccine denial, mass denial happens in every pandemic.
About a minute left with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Looking towards the school situation, you mentioned periodically school cases, but talk about the school kids aren't really the ones that usually end up getting sick from this.
Right. So in schools, we do certainly see lots of cases in schools, but not really very many outbreaks. The only time we've actually seen spread in schools is from staff to students or among students who are in athletics together. So I think when you're in athletics together, you may not be able to distance as well, and you may not be wearing a mask all the time.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.